السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. My respected brothers, sisters, elders in Islam, blessing and tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it possible for us to reach the last few nights. Alhamdulillah, last night was the 28th night. InshaAllah, tonight is going to be the 29th night. And then maybe there is a possible of another one more night. Let's all ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Almighty Allah accept all our fasting, our qiyam and siyam and tilawah, and may Allah grant all of us, insha'Allah, another one more time, insha'Allah, or many more time to reach the month of Ramadan. Only hope that we should have for a long life, when we can be in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will be a rewarding for us in akhirah. Even a minute or hour or day that we spend in this earth in disobedience of Allah, that's not going to help us. In fact, it's going to be against us in the day of Qiyamah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from a life that we spend in disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My respected brothers and sisters in Islam, we're going through certain important topics. Yesterday we ran through, it's not we didn't go through detail. There are so many battles which took place, which has to go through with a detailed explanation. And I gave you all a reference of a website called mahajjah.com, where my ustad and some of our students have got together and compiled some information in English language and uploaded it. So this is some reliable source. Always when you go and refer to an online source, you should go with a referral from a scholar. Because the scholars know where that has happened. If he has gone through and he referred to you, then you should go. If you go to any online source without a referral of a scholar, actually you're calling yourself into trouble, because sometimes certain information would take us to a path where we end up somewhere else. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from a condition, the ilm which will not benefit us, the knowledge which will not benefit us, in fact the knowledge which will harm us. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always made dua, Wallah blessed with the ilm that will benefit. Allimna ma yanfa'na wanfa'na bima 'allamtana. And what we have learned from that, we must benefit and others must benefit as well. And when it comes to continuation of knowledge, every Muslim, we should remain. This is a very important topic. When you find a scholar, you should be very happy. This is the one of the hadith of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this ummah, this is the uniqueness of this ummah. Kun 'aliman aw muta'alliman أو مستمعا أو محبا ولا تكون الخامس. We must come under one of these categories. Either a learned scholar, we learn. When you keep learning and teaching, you're a learned scholar. أو متعلم. أو we should be in the state of learning knowledge. There is no end. We come, we learn. We are not learning this knowledge for a degree, for a program, for a title, no. Those days, our predecessors, ulama, they never went into a program of 7 years, 8 years, 10 years, no. They had thirst. When they find, oh, there is a scholar who has this knowledge, they go and sit with him. Learn. Until they get satisfied that I have learned enough from this scholar, now he's getting little bored of him, he go and look for another scholar. And he goes sit with that scholar, he learns so long. Sometimes the journey goes on for so long. So we are still, even including me, I am in the journey of learning. While I'm sharing what I know, I'm still learning. What I have when I was actually, you know, in this world we have a degree program. These are introduced modernly. Your degree program and be given as, you know, you're a alim sahab, maulvi or mufti or whatever. These are all modern innovations, because you need certain things where you start something, you go on. But my ustad rahimahullah, when I graduated, he never gave me a certificate. I still remember. But I had to go to university, so he gave me whatever program I have done, he wrote a letter, everything, and then I could use that to do my higher degrees, because in this world sometimes you need these things in order to access, in order to travel and teach. There is a modern way, you have a bachelor's, you do master's and PhD and all that. That is a structure, you can use that. But that doesn't determine a person is a knowledgeable person, because it's a very limited amount of things. If you take the bachelor program, it's 4 years, Allahu Akbar. In that 4 year program, you can maximum goes on to 5 years. What you learn is very little. If you take the master's program, it's 2 or 3 years. You go, it's a very, very short programs that we learn, we on. But when Ustaz Rahimahullah, he actually, when the final day of graduation, he taught us Hujjatullah al-Baligha of Shah Waliullah al-Dahlawi Rahimahullah. You all know he's one of the great scholars. He took certain phases of that and he was teaching us and giving, you know, your mission, it starts now. He says, the mission of learning starts now, not mission of teaching. Now you have got the key to learn. Key to learn. It starts. You need to find and learn. Open the door and start learning, reading. What we have done, we have trained you. Like, you know, you need to ride. We have trained you to ride the bicycle. Now you can balance it. Now you take this bicycle and roam around. You need to go all over and get the knowledge. You need to write. And then, Ustaz Rahimullah, he said one thing very important. This knowledge is an amana. This knowledge is an amana. And this knowledge, it's a legacy. This is the point I'm coming to emphasize. This knowledge is a legacy which began from Adam alayhi salam. And then that knowledge was given to ma wassa bihi Nuha. It was revived and given to Nuh alayhi salam. And it was given to Musa alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, and then Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's begin that from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it continued. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lays down the foundation of 23 years of foundation, and then Sahaba kiram carried that, and then that legacy continued. So if anyone is claiming he is a knowledgeable person by ignoring this legacy, by ignoring the legacy, or by disrespecting this legacy, and say, oh, this legacy have nothing to do in Islam, then there's something wrong with it. There's something wrong. We have a problem here when it comes to ideology of people who are opposite, who does not believe in Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, who has issue with regarding Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, Umar radiyallahu, we have a problem there. Because this knowledge will not be preserved if it wasn't for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in every generation, Adul, the most trustworthy people, were selected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمَ دِينٌ فَانْظُرْ أَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَ. This knowledge is, this ilm is deen, this is religion. So you need to be very careful from whom you are taking this deen. My respected brothers, sometimes we get caught for it. So that's why we need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hidayat and guidance. And then Ustaz Rahimullah said that now you need to go and learn and do the mission of teaching. Go on, and then community, society has to accept you as a scholar, as a person who is alim, who is benefiting them, who is teaching them. That is the real degree, that is the real certificate. What we give these papers, there are so many who graduate, they have the paper, but it doesn't benefit them, neither it benefit the ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make all of us beneficial. Aw muta'alliman, you either be a student, aw mustami'an. Now you don't have that energy to continue learning, at least you give a listening ear. Alhamdulillah, we see many people, we come month of Ramadan or any, when a scholar come and speak, we become mustami'an. It's a rewarding act. Aw mustami'an. Then the fourth category said, okay, even you don't get that opportunity, at least be muhib, the one who will love and help the assist the scholars. You have to love them. Loving the scholars is part of, you know, this deen, because this deen is being preserved. This deen is being preserved through that. muhibban wala takun al khamisa, don't be in the category of fifth category, and tubghil al ilma wa ahla, they will not like this knowledge and the people of this knowledge, they will hate them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that category. My respected brothers, when you look at the Quran, when you go through this legacy, there are so many things that we're supposed to learn. They're supposed to see that what will benefit me in my life? What will benefit me? In this specially very, very important, we need to learn our aqidah, our belief. Very, very important. Many of us, we don't know. We just come and follow. But we need to learn from a proper scholar who will teach us when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is our understanding about Allah. These are not simple things. We cannot give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a direction. We cannot refer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but certain verses in Quran, it gives direction, looks like. It confines Almighty Allah to a certain space. We cannot do that, scholars have really explained, because Allah is above space. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't come, you know, within the time. He's above time. Above time. He doesn't have a shape. We cannot describe a shape. Scholars have different understanding. When it comes to people interpreting that, it's very, very important. It's a very delicate, but we need to learn to understand that and to have the proper faith about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then comes the angels. وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ. Very important. If you don't know the proper one, the wrong information will set in. You go online, you learn that, the wrong information will set in. About angels, who are they? Some people say angels. You have female angels, male angels. No, according to our belief, angels doesn't have any gender. Allah have created them in a unique way. Allah have created them in a unique way. Allah have created them as a noor. And then special angels have been, you know, specified for a certain job. Jibreel alayhi salam for a certain purpose. Mikael alayhi salam, Israel alayhi salam, every angel have been given description. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about their name also in Surah Baqarah. So learning about angels, their objective, the purpose, our belief in angel, because our foundation, wa malaikatihi. Because when you come, there are so many other ideology, it will creep in. About angel, what is it? You know, there are different wrong ideologies are there. But if you don't know the foundation of it, the wrong information will come in. So learning that very important. In one of the lectures, I said I will explain about Jibreel alayhi salam, inshallah, tomorrow, day after. I couldn't do a proper referral. There are some knowledge, but when I'm putting it out, the facts, I need to reread, go through a referral, remind, because it's an amana. Without reading, without doing a homework, I cannot come here and, you know, trying to do things. It's an amana. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from, you know, how to deliver this amana properly, inshallah. So angels, then comes wa kutubihi. This is the revelations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What happens when someone comes and say, okay, this is Israelite, this comes in Tawrat, this comes in Injil, this comes in Bible, what we supposed to do? We say we believe whatever has been revealed. For Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when it comes, you neither reject, you neither affirm it. Because there was other so many corruption has taken place within that, distortion has taken place. We cannot reject also. But what we believe, the summary, the message of Tawrat, Injil, Zabur, and all the suhuf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought in the Quran. But we never go back and say, وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ, which is revealed to you and whatever revealed before. We believe in all that. It is a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah has protected all that in the heaven. But the form which is here, sometimes there is distortion, because Allah gave the responsibility of protecting those kitab to those people in their hand in this world. But when it comes to Kalamullah, the Quran, Allah Himself took upon Himself the protection of the Inna Nahnu Nazzalna Dhikr wa Inna Lahu Lahafiru. We will protect it. You know how Allah has protected for 1400 years? It's amazing. It's amazing. You go anywhere, Allahu Akbar. You stand, you can be whoever it is. You read, you make a mistake, there is someone to take it up for you. No one in pronunciation itself, every nutuk, every pronunciation has been protected. all different 7 to 10 version of different riwayah has been protected. It is the beauty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken responsibility. The meaning has been protected. Every pronunciation has been protected. Every word has been protected. That is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken responsibility. If Allah is using us, mashallah, we see this. Lot of youngsters, mashallah, they're coming up leading the taraweeh. They're doing it. Is Allah is using those people. Allah is using us to protect the kalamullah. And generation to come, inshaAllah, this mission will continue. We have heard in the history, there are people in Cape Town, there's a story, when early 1600, when the Dutch, when they were ruling that part, the Quran was banned. In many part of the world. Any part of the world, the Quran was banned because they thought Quran, this is giving them spirit. This is giving them strength, so we need to deprive them from it. But Allahu Akbar, Allah preserved it. Allah preserves it. You go there in the museum, they kept one Hafil who migrated from Indonesia. And he was captured, he was actually kept as a slave and captive in the jail. Out of his own memory, he wrote the entire Quran. Allah made him a means. They brought him there, imprisoned him. Allah made him and Tuan Yusuf Makassari. You can go and, you know, Google and see. He's the one person who came. He was sent there. He was exiled there. And he sat there and all the slaves used to escape and come to him. He used to teach them Quran from his memory because not there. But this Quran was written and he hidden and kept it in the jail. Allahu Akbar. Allah will preserve this Quran. Then we learn to learn about this. Very, very important when it comes to tafsir. Learning about, again, you need to go and learn and understand from there. When it comes to, we know people came, some people came and claimed prophethood. And they challenged the finality of prophethood. And there is a group of people, they call themselves Muslims, but they attach, oh, there is a prophet after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we all know, it is very clear, every children know, as Muslim, our one of the primary belief is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is final messenger. And then there was a scholar, they were coming from, a scholar from that side and this scholar from this side, about to argue, you know, they want to have a debate to prove. In one verse, in one word, he actually discredited the person, says, if you say Allah has said, وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِ, Allah didn't say, وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ بَعْدِ, Allah didn't say. So that itself, it says that there is no prophet after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Surah Baqarah, in the beginning itself, Allah says, وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ, which is revealed to you and which is revealed before. If there is a prophet after, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say what? وَأُنزِلَ مِنْ بَعْدِكَ. After that, it was not mentioned. So that itself is sufficient. There are so many verses in the Quran which says the finality of our prophethood sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's very, very important that we learn, we understand. There are so many stories. When you go in the tafsir also, Israeli riwayats, you see, it takes from other sources. When it comes sometime, you get stories of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, about Sulaiman alayhi salam, Dawud alayhi salam. You hear strange stories. You have to be very careful. Some comes and sometimes they actually describe a prophet to be someone, you know, something else. May Allah protect. And Israelites. Sometimes it's, when you're reading, it's very interesting. But we have to be very careful because that may be distorted version. That we cannot confirm that sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when it comes to Israelite, you don't affirm that. Neither you reject it. You just keep quiet. You don't take that. You keep it aside that. And some of the narrations, it will confirm with the Quranic ayah, or it will confirm with the hadith of sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then we can take it because it's already affirmed by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then comes rusuls, very important. We need to learn about all the rusuls. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not mention all the prophets in the Quran for a reason. It becomes too difficult for us. 124,000 prophets. No. Allah mentioned a very limited number of prophets. At least we need to learn about them. Because we believe in them. We have faith in them. We need to learn and understand about them. And Adam alayhi salam, Idris alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa, Ishaq alayhi salam, Yaqub alayhi salam. We need to try. And this, you'll come, a lecture from here, it's only a motivation. But we need to have sessions. with proper time we spend with all these details goes on, because that's very important. We need a committed group of people. You come, you follow. That's very, very important. Alhamdulillah. Nowadays, we have a lot of excess for knowledge, but excess for proper knowledge is a problem. Verified knowledge is a problem. Information, excess for information, but verified information, the issue. That's very important. Verification is very important part of Islam. That's why the entire study of Asma'ur Rijal, the narrators, and Jarh wa Ta'dil, whether you accept or reject this narration, that entire, you know, a field of knowledge were introduced to Islam, because verification is very, very important. Then about their qiyamah, wal yawmil akhir wal qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allah ta'ala. Very, very important. We need to learn about day of qiyamah. That is our belief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks so much in the Quran. And ashratu sa'ah, it is the last, final. What is the last? The signs of day of qiyamah. It is a knowledge on his own. Jibreel alayhi salam came and asked certain question. Mal iman, mal islam, mal ihsan. What is ihsan? And then comes but it goes on. Ashratu sa'ah. Umashratu sa'ah. What are the signs of the day of Qiyamah? So learning these things is very, very important. So we need to try and see. Alhamdulillah, we have scholars, we have people. We need to find time and see how we can learn and continue this. We should engage in learning. We should engage ourselves in learning. Aliman aw muta'alliman aw mustami'an aw muhibban wa la takun al-khamisa. We are not learning here in order to become a scholar and give, you know, fatwa. We are learning for ourselves so we can teach our children, we can protect our children. It's very, very important. The entire life is journey of learning and continuing. My respected brothers, finally, is something very, very important. When we are coming to the end part of Ramadan, there are so many things available. There is two things that this has to continue. If you say, okay, basically, what are you taking back from this Ramadan? I can put into four different categories. One is, we have learned to control our nafs. Abstain. This is one of the main objectives during the day. So we need to continue that. We need to continue with trying to restrain from our nafs. With nafs saying, get it, don't give it. You know, we need to fool the nafs, how shaitan fools us. When you say nafs, don't, it will be a problem. It won't accept. You have to say nafs, not now, tomorrow. To keep saying tomorrow, day after, eventually the nafs lose interest in that. It lose interest. It happens, you try and see. But these days, but it invites you, gives you a credit card, it gives you option, you go out, 20% off, 50% off, buy one, two free, one buy that, this. It's so much comes in. And you just tempted. Sometimes you don't need now. You think, oh, maybe next month I'll need it. Maybe tomorrow I'll need it. You need to learn to restrain and keep the nafs. And when it comes to restraining the nafs, it is not only buying things, food and things like that. Even with responding to another brother, it's very important. One of my ustads used to teach, you think, controlling the nafs, we think, okay, women, wealth, these things, no. Sometimes what happened? You have a problem with a brother. According to you, this is very important. According to you, he is wrong. It is only according to you. No? That's not correct sometimes. It's according to you. That is your version of your understanding. He is wrong. So that doesn't make what that person wrong, right? That doesn't make that person wrong. It is according to your understanding. Then what happens? You try to promptly, hastily, you try to respond to him with anger. Now that is nafs. You must tell us, oh, hold on. This is one of my ustaz. Hold on. I'm not going to respond to him with one word. I'm going to write an article about him. Now you fool the nafs. You're saying, I'm not going to send a voice card. I'm not going to type anything. I'm going to write an article about him. All his mischievous things. You know, then nafs, okay, right, it's good. But you end up not doing. You're not going to write an article. Right? You restrain, because al-ajalatu min ash-shaytan. What shaitan wants it, hastily, quickly you do something, then you regret. Always. So restraining the nafs in responding. At home, with our spouses. Right? So many times. People who are married, they know about it. Right? What happens? So many regression. You get angry, promptly say some word, you come in driving. Oh, I shouldn't have told that. It's too late. You can't take it back. You can't get it back. So this is the first lesson that we have learned. We can go through with lots of examples how we restrain from our nafs. And that's the lesson we have learned. Number two, we have built a habit of praying with jama'ah. And not only our fard prayer, we start praying duha, we start praying, we did. This has to continue. This is what we are taking back. Qiyam, taraweeh, you know, tahajjud. This is we have to take. We see that we have to continue consistency in our salah. This is what we are taking. This is why Allah gave us this month of Ramadan. Month of Ramadan, they are doing this. We need to do that. And there is no excuse when it comes to salah. There is no excuse at all. And salah is something that's the closest place that we can be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the sujood. Allahu Akbar. May Allah grant me and all of you, inshallah, and our entire progeny that, you know, coolness, sweetness in salah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said few things he loved. He said, Qurratu ayni. I love, you know, good fragrance. Good fragrance. He was very open and honest. And I said, I love to have women, my wives. You know, I love to be with them. My wives, I love to be with them. And then third, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَجُعِلَتْ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي بِالصَّلَاةِ. My coolness of my eyes is salah. You see where it's been connected. It's similar. How happy. When good fragrance you see, similar to salah. Salah is like that. Coolness, comfort. It has to comfort us. So this is the number two that we are taking back. Number three, we build a very close relationship with the Quran. Kalamullah. Allahu Akbar. In Taraweeh. We were listening, we were reading, mashallah. Some of us did how many? At least minimum. The Muslim writer on the Muslim world, at least what I know, they will do at least one khatam in the month. At least, this is minimum. But then some of us have done 3, 4, 5, 10, mashallah. And in Taraweeh, we listen to the entire Quran. That should be habit. We start the day with Quran and continue in the night, and we should have a very close relationship with the Quran. Very close relationship with the Quran. And that will definitely help. The fourth message that we take is that in this month of Ramadan, we were practicing generosity. We were feeding people, giving sadaqah, Allahu Akbar, iftar, inviting everyone. And we never felt a problem. We never worried about it. What will happen? No, we always thought it is a privilege feeding others. It is a blessing giving sadaqah. This, you see, in these four things, that we did so many other, but these four are the main four lessons that we have learned from this month of Ramadan. We need to take back this and try to continue. If you keep these four in your memory and you try keep reminding every day, it's very easy. It's very easy. You keep repeating it, keep repeating it. There's, you know, why he says, Bunya al-Islamu ala khamsin. Why it's, there are so many things, but this, it's summarized into this five. In Iman, there are so many matters, but it's summarized into six articles. So it's easy for us to remember and emphasize those things. So if you repeat, one, we learn to restrain our nafs. Number two, salah. Number three, Quran. Number four, what? Generosity, charity, feeding, all that come. We give sadaqah, feeding and all. So through this, definitely, you see, all those things, our other relationship will be rectified once we emphasize all our affairs comes under this. All our affairs. Month of Ramadan, we give zakat, right? We calculate and do zakat because of that. So everything comes here on this matter. So my respected brothers and sisters in Islam, let us try and see that how we can go, continue learning, inshallah, and see slowly by slowly we'll continue, you know, develop ourselves. Connect ourselves with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Especially, don't forget, you know, all of you, we came here for better life. But keep an eye on your children's iman and Islam. Keep an eye on your children's iman and Islam. Bring them to masjid. This is the only place I told you. You know, iman and Islam is not just learning information. They have to be in that environment to feel it. It's something that comes, they need to, that is person to person, it is connected, heart to heart. So we need that physical connection. So if they don't have that physical, if they don't be with Muslim, if they don't move around, Last night, I was in Masjid al-Jannah after a lecture. A boy from an Arab country, Urdun, he came to me, hugged, was crying for a long time. He said, I'm 26 years old, but this year is the Ramadan that I have fasted everything. I was never used to pray properly, but this year Ramadan, Allah blessed me, I'm praying. And he told me one thing. I said, why? No, I was far away from Islam. I was not living in that environment. You know, I happened to move in close, then I see the masjid people are going. In the month of Ramadan, a thought came, I should go. When I came and joined the congregation, I felt my heart is tingled. I felt when the Quran is being read, I felt in Taraweeh, I couldn't hold on to it. So Iman is there deep down. In order to nourish that, to deepen that, our children must come and go. They must listen to the Quran. They must listen to the Quran. It's you see, certain people read the Quran not from their mouth, they read it from their heart. When heart to heart connects, there is a connection, there is a weighty is going on. Allah makes it that way. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ni'mah. It's no one's ni'mah, it's Allah's ni'mah. Allah's blessing. So we need to keep them in that environment. So make sure, because outside we can't. There's an issue. We can't take all our children, everybody can't afford and put them into a 100% Islamic school. Difficult. Right? But one thing, for this you have no excuse. If you're not bringing the children to masjid, there is no excuse. In this GTA, I think, Dubai, 80 masjids? 80 plus masjids. No excuse. Maybe people who came in 60s, in 70s or early, they might say, excuse, we don't. Now I think you drive around anywhere, any direction, east, west, north, south, any direction in Toronto, within 20 minutes, you may get a masjid. You may get a musalla. You may get a place. So, and then, initially when they came, they didn't have huffaz, they didn't have ulamas. MashaAllah, now each masjid have 1, 2, 3. And then we have huffaz. No one is excused now. Now you need to make sure that you bring them from the young age, they come connect themselves. And you need to teach them, you are coming here, not like going to school. You go to school, children don't like to go to school. Right? You come here, you must make them its habit. So that's what we need to do. So younger generation, because they are our future, they need to carry the mission of Islam. They need to carry the mission. Once they learn it, they practice it, it's in them. You put the foundation, maybe in between they go astray, they don't touch, but that will be there, hidden in their heart. One day they listen to that Quran, it will tingle and bring it back, and inshallah, they will continue doing it. To do that, you have to give that when they were young. You need to place them in their heart, in their mind. It has to get connected to their DNA. It should be part of their DNA. The Quran must become part of their DNA. Sunnah, love of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam should become part of their DNA. To make it part of DNA, you have to start before even birth. When mother is expecting, you start from there. Where Quran is read at home, mother reads Quran, she sends salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That will continue. And that is the only thing we can do. Hidayat is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bringing them to masjid, there is no excuse. We have to bring them. They need to connect. They need to learn the knowledge from right sources. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, our children, our progeny, all of them. May Allah preserve the iman in our heart and iman in our children and progeny's heart. Wa akhir da'wana. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.